Ujjvala Varana Gauravara Deham Vilasita Niravari Bhava Videham. Shri Bhuvana Pavana Krupaya Lesham Tham Pranamami Cha Shri Sachitanaya Gagarandhara Bhava Bikaram Durjana Tarjana Nada Vishala Bhavabhaya Banjana Karana Karunam Tambrana Namicha Shri Sachitanayam Arunam Bharadhara Charu Kapolam Induhum Indita Nakachaya Ruchiram Jalpita Nijaguna Nama Vinodham Tam pranamami cha Shri Sachitanayam Viralitam nayana kamala jaladharam Bhushana navarasa bhava vikaram Katiyati mantara nitya vilasam Tam pranamami cha Shri Sachitanayam Chanchala charu charna gati ruchiram Manjira ranjita parajuga madhuram Chandravinindita shchitala varanam Tam pranamami cha Shri Sachitanayam Tritakati dora kamandalu dandam Divya kalivara mundita mundam Durjana kalma shakandana dandam Tam pranamami cha Shri Sachitanayam Bhushana Bhuraja Alakavalitam Kampita Bindara Vara Ruchiram कलयज्जवीरचित्तौज्ज्वालतिलकं तं प्रणमामि च श्रीसच्चिदानयम् कमलदालनायनम् आजानुलं वित्तशीभुजयुगल कलैवारखैशौरनाटकवेषम् तं प्रणमामि च श्रीसच्चिदानयम् जय सच्चिदानन्द जय सच्चिदानन्द जय सच्चिदानन्द जय गौरहरि जय सच्चिदानन्द जय सच्चिदानन्द जय सच्चिदानन्द जय गौरहरि जय सच्चिदानन्द जय सच्चिदानन्द जय सच्चिदानन्द जय गौरहरि हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे निताय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल निताय गौर हरि बोल निताय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल निताय गौर हरि बोल मनने श्री सची स्थनायाष्टकंकी श्री सची नंदांकी गो प्रेमनन्ने Do we have a Bhagavatam? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye. I don't know which one are you on. Fourth canto, 21st chapter or something. You can just hand me that clicker. Thank you. You can just unplug that attachment. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28. Paranjana becomes a woman in the next life. The text is number 38. Tapasa Vidyaya Pakva Tapasa Vidyaya Pakva Kashayo Niyamaya Yamahi Kashayo Niyamaya Yamahi Yuyuje Brahmani Atmanam Yuje Brahmanyatmanam. Vijitakshanani Lashayaha. Vijitakshani Lashayaha. Tapasa Vidya Pakva. Kashayo Niyamaya Mahi. Yuje Brahmanatyatmanam. Vijitakshan Nilashayaha. Tapasa Vidyaya Pakva. Kashayo Niyamarya Mahi. Yuje Brahmanatyatmanam. Vijitakshani Lashayaha. Tapasa Vidyaya Pakva Kashayo Niyamarya Mahi Yuje Brahmanyatmanam. Vaishnavis, Tapasa Vidyaya Pakva Kashayo Niyamarya Mahi Yuje Brahmanyatmanam. Vijita Shanulashayaha. Tapasa Vidyaya Pakva Yuje Brahmanyatmanam. Vijita Shani Lashayaha. Tapasa. By austerity. Vidyaya. By education. Pakva. Burned up. Kashaya. All dirty things. Niyamahi. By regulative principles. Yamai, by self-control. Yuyuje, he fixed. Brahmani, in spiritual realization. Atmanam, his self. Vijita, completely controlled. Aksha, senses. Anila, life. Ashayaha, consciousness. Translation: by worshipping, executing austerities, and following the regulative principles, King Malayabdwaj conquered his senses, his life, and his consciousness. Thus he fixed everything on the central point of the Supreme Brahman,
Krishna. Please repeat. By worshipping, executing austerities, and following the regulative principles, King Malayadvaj conquered his senses, his life and his consciousness. Thus he fixed everything on the central point of the Supreme Brahman Krishna. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Whenever the word Brahman appears, the impersonalists take this to mean the impersonal effulgence, the Brahmajyoti. Actually, however, prior Brahman, the Supreme Brahman, is Krishna, Vasudeva. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Vasudeva extends everywhere as the impersonal Brahman. One cannot fix one's mind upon an impersonal something. Did they have this when Shukadeva Goswami was speaking Bhagavatam art project? One cannot fix one's mind upon an impersonal something. Bhagavad Gita 12.5 therefore says, Klesho dikattarastesham avyakta sattachetasam. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. Consequently, when it is said herein that King Malayadvaj fixed his mind on Brahman, Brahman means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Panan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Go Premanande Hari Hari Bo Tapasa Vidya Pakva Kshayo Niyamarhimahi Yuyuje Brahmanyatmanam Vijita Kshani Nilashayaha. By worshipping, executing austerities, and following the regulative principles, King Maladvaj conquered his senses, his life, and his consciousness. Thus he fixed everything on the central point of the Supreme Brahman, Krishna. And the topic of the Srimad Bhagavatam is Advaya Gyan Tattva. Krishna is one, but Vedanti tat tat pavidas tat fam gyaj gyanamadvayam. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdite. He's described in three various features, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, which are features of the Lord realized through different methods and attitudes of approach. Itam satam brahma sakana bhutya, described by Shukadeva Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Prikshit. Itam satam brahma sakana bhutya, dasyam gatanam paradayavatena, mayashitanam naradarakena, sakam vrijaru kritapunya punjaha. In describing the story of Agasura in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami tells Maharaj Prikshit about the cowherd boys who were playing with Krishna as equals. And he says that some people worship Krishna as the supreme Brahman. Itam satam brahma sukham. They have feeling happiness by identifying with the impersonal feature of the Lord. Dasyam gatanam paradayavatena. Some see the Lord as the all-opulent personality of Godhead, and others who are materialistic, they see Krishna as an ordinary person. Avajananti mamudha manushantanam ashrita. Krishna describes naham prakashya sarvasya yoga maya samadrita muroyam nabijananti lokamam ajamya avyayam. People who are covered by material energy simply see Krishna as an ordinary person. However, sakam vrajaru krita punja punjaha, those who have amassed heaps and heaps of pious activities are playing with Krishna, the personality of Godhead, as his personal friend in the land of Vrindavan. And all of these living entities, although they're connected with Krishna, see Krishna in a different way. And similarly, from the lowest type of consciousness in the material world called Annamoy, the protozoan and the simplest of creatures in this world connect to the Supreme through eating. They simply eat. And that's Krishna too, because Krishna is the ras of eating. I was thinking about that the other day on a fast day. I was walking up some stairs and I was thinking, why don't I have any pep in my step right now? I was just momentarily, I was feeling a little morose, and I thought, oh right, because I'm not taking prasadam, because I like to eat. So then I was thinking, that's my connection with Krishna. This gain is a little high, I think. Maybe just a tad. And then I was relating to all the living entities around me in my yard. I have a big yard. I have a garden in my backyard. All kinds of living entities. And they're always eating. Especially they're eating my garden. The slugs and snails, they come out and they just snack down on all the new marigolds I put out. When I was away in Japan, they were practically demolished. And I go out and see what they're doing, and they're just little vegetarians out there eating the whole garden. But that's their relationship, say the prayers of personified Vedas with Krishna, is through the tongue, anamoy, and then there are progressively higher stages of consciousness through which one can come to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the awakening of consciousness. Bodhayanatmanatmanam bhaktimapyutamam labet. Gradually, step by step, there's an awakening of consciousness. And factually, the Personality of Godhead, his personal feature is always available. He's always available, he's always there. It's just I can't see him because of my consciousness. Therefore, the science of Krishna consciousness is a science of receptivity. As much as I'm receptive, that much I can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here in this verse, we hear King Maladwaj. He's making himself receptive. Rupa Goswami gives us the fundamental directives. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udarapasta vegam, etan vegam, yo vishaheta dhira, sarvamapi mam prithivim sa shishyat. That one who control the tongue, the power of speech, vacho vegam manasa, the power of thinking, krodha, anger, is a vega, jihwa, the tongue, is the most difficult to control, sharira advijja jal, don't get excited, jodendriya taikal, the tongue is the most... it's the most voracious and difficult to control. Jihwa vegam, udarapastha the vegam, itam vegam, then the tongue, belly, genitals. All these are the pushings of the senses. And since a time immemorial in the material world, I've been controlled by the senses. Therefore, the Vaishnava phrase, kamadinam katina katita palita durnideshas, Tesham jata mayina karuna natrapa no pashanti utsri jaitanata yarupate samprata labda bhuris tamayata sharanamayamam nam ningshvat madasye. In a beautiful prayer, the devotee says, for how long and how many ways have I served the bad masters of my senses? They've always told me what to do, these bad masters. And I've never questioned them up till now. And they've never given me time off. They ever give you time off? And they've never given me mercy. I've simply obeyed the bad masters without questioning. He said, but no longer will I do that. Utsri jayatanata yarupate samprata labda buddhis. Now my intelligence has awakened, my buddhi has awakened, and we know indriyani priyanyahur indriyabhya param maraha manasastu parabhudhiryo buddhehe paratastu saha. Krishna says near the end of the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when he's telling Arjuna the process of overcoming the lower nature and lust specifically, which is the eternal enemy of the soul and which has taken strategic positions within the body and the senses and the mind and God forbid, the intelligence. Then he says, understand who you are and where you're actually situated. Get a map and look. And the lowest of all is the senses. And above the senses is the? Above the mind is the? Above the intelligence is the? Evam buddhi param buddhva samstabhyatmana matmana jahishatram mahabaho kamarupa durashadam. And therefore he says, be situated on this higher level and overcome the lower nature by the higher nature. And this is being expressed in this prayer. Labdha buddhi means, now I've gained my intelligence by good fortune. Utsri jayatanata yarupate samprata labdha buddhis. The devotee is awakening and saying, I will no longer be a servant to my lower nature. Now I'm approaching Krishna, who is the personality of Godhead. Yarupate. And I'm praying to him, I'm approaching him for some personal service. Please engage me in your service. I don't want to be engaged in the service of the senses. And this is the transferring process by which one can actually become fixed in mind and senses, overcome the lower nature by the higher nature. We have to have superior engagement. Give a verse. Pundits in the first row. Go ahead, belt it out. Does everyone concur? Vishaya vinivartante nirhara sadehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishva nirvartate. We may restrain the senses, but still the taste for sense objects remains until what? And what is that higher taste? Bhakti rasa. Can you describe it? Of course you can, otherwise you wouldn't be here. We were warned last night, we went for a walk, we needed a little prana. We went for a walk, and as we were walking out the door, was it you who warned us? He said, watch out for Howard Street, watch out for... was it Howard Street? Don't go on Howard Street. We walked down the street. We didn't go on Howard Street, but we saw one mugging, and we met Agasura on the way, too. And it's dangerous out there. Dangerous material world. I was thinking that there's so much animalistic life going on, and we were thinking about, after being with the devotees for several hours, for several days, I was telling Madhukari Prabhu that sometimes I start to think that, well, everyone's a devotee. You ever have this experience? In Rath Yatra, sometimes in Los Angeles, my wife cooks that Rath Yatra feast. It takes her a week, and I go in to help for 3 days. And just being in the kitchen cooking for 3 days, and then being with the devotees on Watseka Avenue, and go to the Rath Yatra parade, you just see devotees, 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 and then I start thinking, yeah, everyone's a devotee, the whole world, they're just doing devotional service. And then when I have to leave Rath Yatra and cross over that Venice Strip, the Venice Boulevard, it's like the Viraja River, where the vibration changes from Hare Krishna into Thriller and I don't know whatever else is going on. And then, you know, and then everyone has this predatory look on their face. I noted it, actually, that people walking by, they were looking at things with a predatory eye, that like they wanted to devour things. This is what Brahma experienced when he created the yakshas and rakshasas. They came out, one of the aberrations in the beginning of his creation, and they looked at him and they, as if they wanted to devour him. This is how low the energy goes in the material world. And so then I had this revelation walking across that street thinking, oh, people are still doing this stuff out here. It's still going on. And we felt that last night as we walked out of the temple, we're walking down the street, somebody got mugged right in front of us. we're just thinking how low the vibration can go. And so my point was, higher taste, bhakti ras. Somebody was going to describe it. Go ahead. No, practically, what is your taste? What did you experience while you're here? Otherwise you'd be out mugging people. There's a ras in that. It actually feels good to beat people up sometimes, apparently. Although I've never done it. In this life that I know of. Although sometimes I'd like to. Okay, go ahead. Bhakti Ras, what did you experience?
You mean over the course of the weekend?
No, anytime.
Kirtan.
Tell us about it. What did you see?
In Kirtan, the happiness of devotees' faces keeps you attached to devotees and keeps you not wanting to go back to the material existence.
Wow, that's powerful. Keeps you wanting to not go away from the devotees, not go back into the material world, you feel happiness. I remember the first time I came to the temple in San Francisco. I had read a Back to Godhead magazine, and then I got to the temple. I had some knowledge about the Christian consciousness movement from reading the Back to Godhead magazine, and then I went and I got the at a bookstore. I saw in the magazine, it said, there was an advertisement. It said, Sri Shapanishad, the ancient Vedas actually say God is a person. And I couldn't believe someone came out and said it. I have to read these books. So I went to Shambhala Books in Berkeley. And my mother took me there. And I got the Bhagavad Gita. I said, give me everything by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. They had Bhagavad Gita, On the Way to Krishna, and Sri Shapanishad. Got what I wanted. And I read everything. And I went to the temple, and I read about kirtan and everything like that. And there were some sannyasis there that were visiting, and they were having kirtan. And they would jump high at the crescendo of the kirtan. And every time they started jumping high, I was thinking, now they're seeing Krishna. And then the kirtan would come down, and then they'd start jumping and say, they're seeing Krishna again. I want to see Krishna. I remember the smell in the temple, the aroma. It caught my mind. And Prabhupada talks about this in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev's instructions. He says, a Kanishta Adhikari, even a Kanishta Adhikari, becomes imperceptibly liberated by coming into the temple and smelling the incense. And I experienced that myself. The first time walking in, the flowers, the incense, the cleanness of the temple, it all captured my mind. My mind was captured, actually. It wasn't a matter of restraint. It wasn't a matter of, I have to control my mind now and live here. I was just carried away. I floated away with the aroma. And it's reminiscent of the four Kumaras mentioning that when they went to Vaikuntha, although they were absorbed in Brahman, the impersonal feature of the Lord, they saw everything and everyone equally. When they smelled the aroma from the lotus feet of the Lord, the tulsi leaves, tulsi buds, they became transformed. Well, I mean, what does it mean to be transformed into a bhakta suddenly? There's some change of heart, and there's a feeling of love. Imperceptibly, we become attached to something higher. Param drishman devartate. It's inexplicable, practically. It's Krishna's mercy. And he does give these free samples. And I remember here in Chicago, sometimes I used to work downtown, and they had this advertising scheme where people would come out with a big box of these candy bars. A new candy bar was coming out, but it was only a little piece of the candy bar and a little tiny wrapper. And there would be a long line around the street, and this girl would be passing out the candy bars, and then people say, "This is a good candy bar, give me another piece." And they say, "Nope, you only get one. Now you got to go buy the candy bar." That's why we're out here. First one's free. And so this is Krishna. Sometimes, even in the very neophyte stage, someone might get a higher taste for bhakti ras. This was the experience of Narada Muni, who was just a little boy, 5 years old. He got some mercy, which is necessary for getting this bhakti ras. He got mercy from the Bhaktivedantas. He served them at his mother's house, and he also asked them for remnants of their food, which meant he was already getting a taste, because otherwise how would he know to ask remnants from them? And then they went away after a few months of hearing and chanting. This is the power of being in the association of devotees and serving them. Satam prasangam mamavirya sambhido bhavanti ritkarna rasayana kata taj joshanadashu apavarga vartmani shadaratir bhaktir anukramishriti. That if you get in the association of the satam, that means those whose hearts are completely clean, you'll hear the vibration that will enter into your ear and then into your heart, and it will change your heart. There'll be a revolution in heart. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo. The Bhagavatam is meant for this. It's meant to create a revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. And it enters within the ear, and even if someone doesn't know what it is not fully conversant with the language of love, so to speak. It's poetry. But that poetry is so compelling for the soul, because the soul is very subtle and actually is always connected with Krishna. Sanitya nitya sambandha prakritischa paraivasa. The soul is eternal, is superior energy, and has an eternal kinship with the Lord. It's just forgotten. But upon hearing this poetry spoken out of love by the devotees of the Lord for Krishna, satam prasangam mamavirya sambhido bhavanti hritkarna. It goes into the ear and into the heart. And then it changes everything. It changes one's outlook on life. It means apavarga vartmani. It means you go on a different, you start walking in a different direction. You know, somebody's walking along and all of a sudden I'm going another way. And they go that way. That's a apavarga vartmani. It means you're on the path to hell. But then you change your mind and you go the other direction. Why? Because you heard something. It went in your ear and it transformed your heart. And you say, I'm going the other direction now. That's how powerful the sound vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam is. And then Shraddha Bhaktir, Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir, Anukramishriti. Then step by step, there's a development of a mature devotional service and love for Krishna by the power of hearing about him from the devotees. And walking in my neighborhood one day, I saw that all the storm drains, I mean, I've always seen it, but one day I noticed it, have a sign on them that say, no dumping drains to bay. I live near the San Francisco Bay, but not that near the San Francisco Bay. It's miles away from the bay, but it says on every storm drain, no dumping drains to bay. And so what it means is anyone who dumped something in the suburbs, which may be, 50 miles away from the bay, that water goes into the ground and then it drains into the big bay, San Francisco Bay. And so it struck me as I was walking along chanting that the ears, my ears, are like these little storm drains. And the little signs on the top of them appear that say, no dumping drains to bay. And the bay is the heart. There's a big bay of the heart. And whatever I hear in these little storm drain ears, it drains into the bay of the heart, and it stays there. And I know it does because I can still recite to you lyrics from Beatles songs that I heard when I was 8 years old. And they're still in there somewhere. Although I'm sure they can be dovetailed somehow. But the sound vibration goes in there. Another interesting thing about the ears, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, although the holes here are very small, it enters into an area, Prabhupada says, that is bigger than the sky. So you can put unlimited amounts of sound vibration in here. It's not that it'll fill up and there's an end to it. But it's very important to control the hearing process. And I was saying that Narada Muni had this experience of associating with the great sages. After they went away, his mother died, and Narada had already become so detached that he left home by himself at 5 years old and went walking through the Lord's creation, unconcerned and unafraid. And he sat down in a lonely forest, began to meditate, and then the Lord appeared to him on the whirl of his heart. And he was merged into an ocean of happiness. Every one of his senses became individually stimulated and ran after the Lord and was experiencing happiness. The senses in the material world, Prahlad Maharaj said, each one is dragging us in a different direction, very demanding. However, when they're awakened in Krishna consciousness, the purified senses, each experience their own happiness in service to Krishna, unlimited happiness. He was floating in this ocean of bliss, and then he suddenly came back into his external senses and experienced great despondency. And then mechanically he tried to get the vision of the Lord back, and then Krishna spoke to him in an unembodied voice and said, you're a kuyogi, bad yogi. You're still attached to the forest and the mode of goodness, and by this mechanical process, you can't see me if you're not perfect in this life. And so he had this experience, and many times people have an experience of bhakti ras early on in their contact with devotees, and then spend the rest of their life trying to get it back. They know it's there, they've seen it for themselves. And in this verse, the Prabhupada specifically mentions how most people, due to a tendency for impersonalism, when they hear Brahman, they describe it as the impersonal feature of the Lord. But we're fortunately being guided by the Bhaktivedantas, who are pointing us to the process of devotional service that leads to the personality of Godhead. And by worshipping Krishna, the personality of Godhead, then all necessary qualities are manifest automatically so that one can advance in devotional service. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janaya Yashuvairagyam Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam. By worshipping Krishna, then concomitantly, knowledge and detachment come as helpers. Tach chadadhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashyantyatmani chatmanam bhakti shuta grihitaya. You must be aided by knowledge and detachment, because if you don't have knowledge, you don't know what to do. And if you don't have detachment, even if you know it, you can't do it. And when we worship Krishna, the personality of Godhead, then we get these concomitant qualities that help us to advance in devotional service and to control the mind. Those are just a few random preliminary remarks, but if you have any questions or something else you'd like me to say, I will. Yes?
You were describing how Krishna consciousness is the science of receptivity. So it seems that in our attempt to receive the full benefit from the messages of Krishna consciousness, it doesn't go into the ear, into the heart. Oftentimes we may have an experience like that with Krishna conscious sound vibrations, but with other types of sound vibrations, very easily into the ear, into the heart, and thus contaminating it. So I was wondering if you can describe this, why this experience takes place.
But Prahlad Maharaj says the same thing in his prayers to Lord Nrsingadev, that although I understand that this process is beneficial, devotional service, still because my senses are accustomed to material things. He says, the eyes are always attracted to scenes of sense gratification. My ears want to hear cinema songs. And the belly, although filled, wants to eat more. And he describes each one of the senses has its own demands, voracious demands to fulfill. And therefore there's a distraction. And there's absence, presence. And unless I actually develop the power to hear with one-pointed attention, then I may not experience this full satisfaction. This is described by Srila Prabhupada at the last purport in the third chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam, where he talks about hearing and rapt hearing, one must drink the juice of the Bhagavatam through the ears. This is the experience, drinking through the ears. And one should have rapt attention and well hearing. I can see something but not see it because my mind has not registered it. For instance, I had experience where I wasn't wearing my watch for a little while, and then I started noticing in a place where I go regularly that there was a clock on the wall. And I'd look at the clock after that. But before that, I didn't even know there was a clock on the wall because I had a wristwatch. And I'd look at that. But my mind was seeing it, but it never registered. And there's a way in which my mind filters out many types of things, and I'm not present because I'm absorbed in the mind. And therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami talks about worshipping Krishna with one-pointed attention and developing this penchant for ardent hearing. Your question was again?
Nonsensical vibrations very easily.
Yeah, so nonsensical vibrations at first may seem more appealing to the senses, but actually as the senses become purified, they become we abhor those, and we relish hearing the transcendental vibration. It actually becomes more appealing as we just develop a taste, naturally develop a taste for hearing. And the prescription by Kapiladev, after being asked by his mother, Devahuti, who said, it seems very difficult to come to this stage of taste because it almost seems like I am my body. The mind is very difficult to overcome, she said. Everyone says that. And therefore, how will I come to this position? And Lord Kapiladev answers and says, by performing attentive devotional service and hearing over a long time, long period of time. So hearing for long periods of time over the span of one's lifetime and as much as possible during one's life, constantly hearing is recommended. Constantly hearing. Always hearing the transcendental vibration. It has its effect. naturally, as we continue to hear, there will be a transformation of heart. And things that seemed attractive before simply fall away. There's a natural fulfillment. Bhakti parishanu bhavo virakti ranyata tresha trika eka kala prapadya manasya tasnata sus tushti pushti shudapayonagasam. Kavi Yogendra describes that the process of eating food brings us nourishment, satisfaction, and the hunger goes away by itself, just by the process of eating. And no one has to give you a certificate to tell you that you're becoming full or nourished or satisfied or your hunger is going away when you eat. And in the same way, when we perform devotional service and in surrender to Krishna, we get bhakti, we get direct perception of the Lord for ourselves, and we get detachment from all other things. And these three things come simultaneously and automatically to one who's engaged in the process without an extraneous endeavor. So the prescription is to hear over a long period of time. This is consistent in statistics for those engineers and statisticians with the law of large numbers. In the law of large numbers, the law of large numbers says that when you're performing statistical experiment, the more times that you perform the experiment, the more the results come to the expected value. If you do a statistical experiment two or three times, you might get an inconsistent result, but if you do it 1,000 or 1,000,000 times, it'll start to come out to the average mean, the mean average. And similarly, as you perform daily the experiment of on your own consciousness of communing with Krishna through the transcendental sound vibration, you'll, as you consistently do it, and the longer you do it, the more you'll develop your own experience. Yes. How much time do we have? Two minutes? 9 o'clock? Okay. All right. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. This is about distribution. How should I react or respond to a person that insults one of the books? How should I handle that?
Well, first of all, you know, it's to be expected. We're going out in public to preach Krishna consciousness, so anything can happen, and everything that can happen will happen. And one way you should think about it is that I'm exposing myself to all kinds of people and energies as I go out. And just as a doctor who takes care of patients doesn't react violently or become upset when the patient berates the doctor or even becomes violent with the doctor, because he understands the patient is delirious. At the same time, prescription is that if somebody's envious, we shouldn't preach to them. We should separate ourselves. Dvishatsu. We should be, to those who are envious and they express envy towards Krishna, or his representatives, then we should be upeksha, which means we should avoid them. We should be indifferent, not try to engage them more. So, the best of your ability, you should separate yourself from the person in a way that is, that you leave the least residual in your own consciousness and in the air. So there are ways of sort of politely detaching yourself and walking away, which is what I recommend. Because if you want to stay somewhere and continue to distribute and you meet people who are hostile, then you may have to learn this art of avoiding people, detecting as early as possible that they're envious, and then breaking away. And if something does happen, then moving away from them as quickly as possible. Yes, Rock Talk. Hare Krishna.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. What do you do when there's like a Harinam going on and there's a lot of singing and then a Christian group might come up and then they start, you know, like heckling the devotees?
We chant louder usually. And we know we have this happen a lot. In Palo Alto, there's this one square we go to chant it, and every once in a while a Christian group shows up. One night was particularly stuck in my mind because I brought a group of devotees there and we started chanting, and then they showed up and they had they were at the other side of the square, but they got bored, so they came over like right in front of us, and they were like with their bullhorns and everything, they were going, "Nah, Hare Krishna this, Hare Krishna that," and sounded like Shishupal. And so I had the devotees chant louder and louder and get more and more blissful and dance and everything. And the contrast was so great that people came to watch the scene. And, you know, every time that happens in the square, when we get Christian hecklers with their signs and everything like that, people, we sell twice as many books. And people come over and they go, "We hate those guys, and we like you guys. Who are you?" They don't even know, but they just recognize intolerance when they see it. And they're against it. So that particular night, we kept chanting louder and louder and louder, and they were getting more and more vehement. And then all of a sudden, their bullhorn went out. And I saw the guy checking the batteries and everything, and he's like... And I was just thinking, because I was praying to Krishna, you know, "Krishna, you know, we're just going to chant your name, and please you deal with this, because I'm not sure what to do, except chant." And then all of a sudden, the bullhorn went out. And the juice ran out, and there were, you know, it's like we were so loud and so blissful, and then the devotees really went nuts in chanting. So it was a victory. And so, and the Harinam is also mobile. So if it becomes, you know, really toxic or offensive, then you can always move on. You know, it's like in any war, you have to know how to pick your, when to pick your battles and things like that. And anywhere you go in Sankirtan, you know, it's sweet. They're living entities everywhere that can benefit. Yes?
The good time, I was going to ask you what I was asking you last night about sharing with us something more about what's happening around different places in ISKCON with this Sankirtan explosion.
Monthly Sankirtan festival?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we started about seven years ago or so, monthly Sankirtan festival in ISKCON Silicon Valley. That's where I live. ISKCON Silicon Valley, we call it ISV. So if you hear me say ISV, superficially it stands for ISKCON Silicon Valley, but the real meaning of ISV is individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. Those were Prabhupada's directions for management to Karandar Prabhu. He said that a leader should create an atmosphere in which people, the devotees, want to do service, which is individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. So we call ISV. So we started because we had a community, everyone's working. It's an all-householder community. And now there's one or two brahmacharis, but we didn't even have a facility for that. We had several programs a week, and devotees would all come for those. And we decided that we would have an opportunity for everyone to come out for book distribution at least once a month. So we started with that idea of monthly Sankirtan festival. And after the first one, a lot of devotees came back and they said, "Let's do it every week," because they were so excited. And I said, "Let's not. Let's do it every month." And then some of those same people came back after a few months and they said, "Let's do it every other month." And I said, "Let's not. Let's do it every month." It seemed about right, once a month, because it always gives you something to get ready for. When you're building for an event, you're growing. And if it's fixed in time and you're going towards it, you make improvements. You have to get ready for something. But it's not so frequent that you become fatigued. And so we started doing these monthly Sankirtan festivals, and they made a huge difference for the devotees at ISV. And lots of devotees came out for them. And over the years, we innovated and developed in different ways through the MSF. for instance, you know, developing different themes for each monthly Sankirtan festival. As I was saying last night, we have some that are called the monthly Sankirtan festival of loving exchanges, where we focus on that verse, dadati pratigrinati guhyamakyati prichiti, and we increase the loving exchanges between the devotees. And then we emphasize how that's what we're doing when we go on book distribution, is giving gifts to others, accepting whatever they give in return. This guhyamakyati prichiti is, you know, whatever we're telling them, we're sharing our heart and things like that. And then we've had themes, monthly Sankirtan festival of steady improvements, which means that we make a list of improvements we can make in our own sadhana. That's one of the goals. Everyone makes a list of three things they want to do to improve, and things like that. So over the years, the book distributions became more and more prolific at ISV, and then others started asking us about, you know, how we were doing and what we were doing. So Toronto is a good example. About 3.5 years ago, they asked, Bhakti Marg Swami said, why don't you come up to Toronto? There's lots of young devotees up here who have a lot of energy. They'd like to do some Sankirtan. So I got there, and I found a lot of devotees were nervous about book distribution. They said, you know, we know you're here to, you know, promote book distribution, and we're willing to surrender, but we're really nervous about this whole thing. And I said, don't worry, it's fun and easy. I made him repeat this mantra, book distribution is fun and easy. And they soon found out that it was. We had our first monthly Sankirtan festival, and everyone felt joyful and happy, and it was a major breakthrough. And since then, they've developed into they've developed it significantly in Toronto, holding a monthly Sankirtan festival for the last 3.5 years, and they've innovated in ways, you know, we never thought of, and they've shared ideas with us. Other temples have started doing this. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that we're working with. Who are? Yes, Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C., definitely. For years, there's a couple there, Loka and Vidarbha, who have been, you know, had a very strong Bhakti Vriksha program, and they were interested in book distribution. And they started doing the monthly Sankirtan festival. Although they were doing their book distribution individually there through their Bhakti Vriksha, a year and a half ago, new temple president came, and we decided to do the monthly Sankirtan festival. One of the things that I noticed consistently is that when you set a goal, everyone gets energized. I see it like flipping a switch. It's one thing you can do. When you set a goal for the whole temple, for the whole team, then everyone gets energized. And I saw it in Washington, D.C. especially, and also in Laguna Beach, California. But in Washington, D.C., we reviewed what they had done the previous year. They had done 5,000 books. No, they had done like 3,500 books. And so I said, what is your goal for the year? And they said, 5,000. I said, forget it, 10,000. I said, you could do way more than 5,000. Let's do 10,000. They said, 10,000 books? How are we going to do 10,000 books? But they agreed to it. And one Ishtagosti we had one night. And then Loka and Vidarbha said they couldn't sleep all night because they were thinking, what did we commit to? And in the morning they woke up, I saw them, I was staying at their house, they were energized. They were, okay, we had some ideas, we're going to do this now. And everyone, the wheels started turning. And you know, they ended up doing that year about 35,000 books, I think. And then Laguna Beach, California, the previous year they had done 400 books for the year or something. I asked them what their goal was for the year. Tukaram Prabhu, really brilliant devotee and very nice, into book distribution, invited me there. I'd resisted for a long time because I thought, you know, what are we going to do in Laguna Beach? But I went there and we met. I said, if I come there, let's meet with all the managers and we can talk about book distribution. He was totally open to it. So one night we met after the Sunday program. I asked him what their goal was for the year. They said 450 books. I said, 450 books for the year? I said, your temple, with the talent you have here, and the amount of people coming to your temple, I said, you could just easily, with just a couple of insignificant tweaks, do 5,000 books this year. And they were a little surprised at that, but they said, okay, we'll do it. And then we brainstormed all the ways they could just fill in the places that they weren't doing any book distribution very easily. And they rose to the occasion, and they ended up doing 15,000 books right after that for the year. And that was only within about six months. They only had 6 months to complete it, not a year. And they really surprised themselves, and they became energized that wow, this is amazing what we can do. When we really come together as a team, this team idea, you know, like we call our Sankirtan at ISV, Team ISV. And I like to name everything team this, team that, because it's this idea of a lot of people each doing a little bit, and no pressure on anybody. It's everyone working together. Of course, sometimes we set these, you know, as we picked up momentum at ISV, we've set really challenging goals that everyone agrees on. And, you know, the monthly Sankirtan Festival at times has turned into a not just a month-long Sankirtan Festival, but sometimes a two-month-long Sankirtan Festival, because although it's officially a monthly Sankirtan Festival, devotees who have collectively decided on the goals have come forward and, you know, to reach them. Like one, you know, for one Christmas marathon, we decided to do 25,000 books for the marathon. And that seemed like a big number. And so all the devotees really got energized and came together. And ended up doing 30,000 books or more for the year. And so it's a concept whose time has come, because especially I notice all over North America, very large congregations, lots of young people interested in Krishna consciousness who want to do something, who want to have the feeling of mission. And nothing gives you more feeling of mission than going out and doing Sankirtan, distributing books and having goals. And so we noticed at the temple president's meeting this last year in January, we suggested that we make the whole North America one team, rather than having individual teams, although the individual teams will be there. We'll come together as one team for all of North America. And we'll set a team goal for the whole continent. So the goal we ratified, every temple president voted yes for it, was that we would make a 20% increase in book distribution overall for North America. And that we would consider North America one single team doing Sankirtan Festival. So there's little teams within teams. And there are so many temple leaders and others who are interested in this now that we're looking for more leaders to go out and, you know, go around and teach people how to do the monthly Sankirtan Festival. Because I can't be the temple president in ISV and never be there. And that's what it's ending up. I'm going to all these places, which is really nice. And so it's going through like a wave. A lot of increase in book distribution over the last few years. Book distribution has been gradually rising overall in North America because of this principle of a lot of people each doing a little bit. And of course, then, you know, we have parties like RVC, which Madhukari Prabhu and Baladev, the other devotees here, are on that traveling party, and they have constant book distribution going on, where they're focusing on events and also college campuses and things like that. That's sort of one of the mainstays of book distribution in America. But I see the combination of those kinds of parties and these congregational parties, so-called congregational parties, the monthly Sankirtan festivals, will make a huge difference, and we can really increase book distribution in a big way. One of the reasons it's important to focus on goals, especially for increasing book distribution and remittance to the BBT. Prabhupada was very keen on having the BBT be a very viable business, because it's 50% for printing books and distributing books. And the other 50% that goes to the BBT is for building ISKCON projects. This was Prabhupada's whole idea of how to build ISKCON. And if you look at all the temples in India, and the early temples like Mayapur, Vrindavan, Bombay, these are built from book money. And also from, there was a party in Japan that collected a lot of money that sent into Mayapur and Vrindavan. But all the monies that came to develop India in the early days, when no Indians were joining and India didn't have any money, it all came from the BBT, and that was Prabhupada's idea all along. It's not just the money comes back and goes for book distribution. He was equally concerned with money going into ISKCON projects, and that's what the BBT is. It's the counterpart of ISKCON. It's not ISKCON, it's a different entity, but they're meant to be symbiotic in the sense that the BBT actually grows ISKCON. So it's the perfect arrangement by spreading knowledge, and at the same time, we're increasing the infrastructure of ISKCON. So right now, all the money you send to the BBT, part of that goes to build this big temple in Mayapur, which would be a monument to ISKCON. And so, you know, every time someone gives a donation on the street, like that lady at the frog shop yesterday, they were selling live frogs. Don't mind, it really stuck in my mind. She gave a penny, so half of that penny went to build the temple in Mayapur. And that's a big deal. She gets credit for that. What to speak of, you know, investing in transcendental literature. Now, something just simple economics and business, and that is the BBT has to be fed for all this to happen. And there's a formula. One thing is, when the BBT gets over $1 million in remittance every year from the temples, then they can print more books at cheaper prices. Because the more you have, the more money you have, discretionary funds, the more you can plan ahead and print larger print runs. And that way the price comes down. And it's the law of accelerating acceleration. The more you have, the more you can get, the more you can sell because they're cheaper prices. It's simple economics. And so what's happened over time in North America is leaders have drifted away from book distribution. They've forgotten that this is the mission, to distribute knowledge, along with everything else that we're doing, you know, keeping all types of programs going for preaching, but the heart of it is the BBT and book distribution. So we, you know, for one reason or another, we've become distracted. And so that means remittances to the BBT have gone down and down and down over the years. And then they have to tighten because they can't print what they want. And then everyone says, well, where's all the books? How come you're printing this book and that book? Can't we have this book anymore? What's wrong with you guys? What's wrong with you guys? You know, it's the goose that lays the golden eggs. You got to feed the goose for it to lay the golden eggs. And so when you dip under $1 million, it's in scarcity territory. And when you go over $1 million, the formula starts looking better and better because you can print more books and at cheaper prices. So this year, we really are encouraging more and more book distribution. This 20% increase includes more remittance to the BBT, and we would like to see it go over the $1 million mark and stay there over the $1 million mark. It'll be good for everyone. Prabhupada said, the BBT is my heart. So when the blood's pumping to the heart, you know, and the heart's pumping it back out again, the body's healthy. So one of my advocacies is for the BBT, is to support Prabhupada's BBT. It was his heart. He said it himself. And his books were arguably his most important project. You know, he spent so much time with them. Everything was important, but especially the books. And, you know, it's the foundation of any society is their literature. That's what we stand on, is our, you know, this is the literature that we have. We're not just some fly-by-night organization. We have the works of the Acharyas and of Krishna, and in their they're beautifully produced. And Prabhupada wanted a very high quality of books coming out of America. Especially he was concerned with the fact that, you know, in the middle 70s, there were library parties going out, including Bhakti Tirtha Swami and other devotees who were going around, by Prabhupada's request, all the universities selling sets of books to the university professors who were buying books, and Ivy League schools, big names. And Prabhupada wanted them to be first-class publications. He didn't want any mistakes in the books also. He told Pradyumna specifically, if you found any mistake, any time devotees found a mistake in the book, they should record it in Pradyumna's book, and the next print run they should correct it, should be corrected. He said, because one mistake left in the book murders the whole book. Prabhupada's words, murders the whole book. Therefore, it should be they should be pristine. And also, he wanted a certain quality of printing. The first books were printed in Japan by Dai Nippon, and very high quality of printing. And nowadays, some of the books we have to get from India because BBT can't afford to print them all. Because when, for instance, if you print sets of books, which we've been doing a lot of sets of books in at ISV, just by taking them out and showing them to people, say take a set. We've almost sold 100 sets this year so far, just by emphasizing them. But if you want to reprint sets, you have to print, it takes about $400,000 to reprint the sets of Bhagavatams, because you have to do quantity, and there's a lot of books to print. That's a big operation. You can imagine all the shipping and the printing for full sets of books. But we want to do all these things, so we need oceans of Lakshmi coming into the BBT. We all want to see sets of books. Everyone take a set of books, right? And the more that goes in, the cheaper prices, then we can sell them faster. So when a temple has this in their underlying consciousness, that all the programs, the deity worship, everything is going on in a first-class way for the sake of preaching, for carrying on the mission, and then there's this penchant for going out and meeting people and giving them opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness, and one of the most profound ways to do that is giving them Krishna conscious literature, then the whole temple becomes a live wire connected to the system of that Prabhupada set up. Can I hook back up again? How are you all doing anyway? You okay? A scale of 1 to 10? 10? You can have this table back. There's a last part to my PowerPoint, and this is the only time I know I can show it. Is that right? Okay. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Few tips. Learn a few comebacks when you do your book distribution. They say, I already know all about this. I say, that's great, I can tell by looking at you. So in other words, I always go along with what they say. I agree with them. They say, I know everything. I said, I know, I could tell, that's why I picked you out. Say, I already give donations to everybody else, meaning like, sorry, I can't help you. I say, no, I can tell. You look very charitable. That's why we picked you. You know, it's kind of like whatever they say, is, I say, yeah, I know, I could tell. I could see that. I'm a, fill in the blank. I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Krishna, I'm a Hindu. Everyone's something. They have this in their mind, you know, but they're actually a soul. But they have this designation. So whatever it is, great, I'll show you this one. So it's not like, you know, I just accommodate it. They say, oh, I'm a, you know, border collie lover or something, you know. It's like, oh, here, this one's for you. So it just, you go along with whatever it is and accommodate it and say, perfect. Perfect, that's it. Yeah, this is the one. Here you go. Are you selling this? We refuse to sell it. It's too valuable. We just take a donation. And I'm emphatic about this a lot of times. You know, when people say, you know, you're selling this, right? And I say, we refuse to sell this. It's too valuable. We just take a donation. They go, oh, okay, no problem. How much should I donate? We try to keep it under 100, but in your case, we're thinking about making an exception. I said that yesterday. Well, an Indian man, he was donating. He said, well, how much should I give? And I said, well, we try to keep it under 100, but in your case, we're thinking about making an exception. Okay, so the ripe fruit for life, picking the ripe fruits. Ripe fruits are easy to pluck. Everyone's sake, so we get... Right? So if you could see this picture, it's some nice ripe fruits. And here's a picture. You can just see them. This is a recipient of a book at a Rath Yatra. And you see his body language and his smile. Looks like a ripe fruit, right? Now let's see if we can see this next picture. Unripe. Now you can just see the body language. Do you see the finger? This is a poor devotee over here who was preaching behind the booth, couldn't get away. And this guy stayed there for about a half an hour telling them all about, you know, redemption and everything. So you just see the body language, and ripe, unripe, ripe, unripe, unripe, ripe. So what we're looking for is to pick the ripe fruits. When you go to the tree, you look for the ones that are already... of this description, easy to pluck, colorful, juicy, and fragrant. And so you'll meet people that are like that. You know, they have this quality to them. And it's not an exact science. You have to become, you know, more and more expert. Like avocados. I know my avocados because I like avocados too much. And I could tell from across, you know, the aisle what's a good avocado and what's not. I can look over that. Those are no good. These ones are good. And then if I feel them, I know immediately avocado. And so you get that way with people also. You start to notice who's got a specific quality. Just by the way they talk and they respond to you and such. So getting books. This is another thing about taking really good care of the books. After MSFs, one of the biggest challenges sometimes we get in the ecstasy of the book distribution, everyone comes piling in the door in complete ecstasy. They've got mantra cards. They've got books. They've got books mixed together with everything else. And then it's prasadam time. So everyone just leaves them in the bag or dumps them in the back of their car or leaves them in the hallway or whatever. Or then they pack the boxes up again and then, you know, SSRs go with Gitas, and this one goes with that one, and where do the dum-dums go? Let's just throw them in here because it's time for prasadam. And the next thing you know, you got a mess. So one of the services in doing the MSF and book distribution is take really good care of the books. Take the extra time and care. Everyone should be trained to take care of them. Our mood is that we're Krishna's instruments. And when you have this mood of being an instrument, you're never afraid because you're not doing it on your own. You're doing it because Krishna asked you to do it and you're going out on his behalf. Remain always hungry and humble. And we'll notice this brahmachari here. Actually, this picture was taken at a Rath Yatra and there was this man waving and appreciating the Rath Yatra. You can't see it because of the light distortion here, but there's actually a reflection of the canopy from the Rath Yatra cart going by. And this man was in a second story window. How did the brahmachari get up there? He climbed up on top of the air conditioning duct and he's just finished selling a book through the second story window. That's what I call hungry. And there's the motto I like, save one soul at a time, beginning with ourselves. I save one soul at a time, beginning with myself. So not the condescending feeling that I'm going out to preach to everybody, but be humble and save yourself first, and then go share that, your realization, with others. It means treating people with respect. people are starving for kindness. And if you give them a little bit of common kindness, you'll notice they'll respond more than any other technique. If you're just kind to people, just find out ways to show some kindness. They'll notice it. And don't focus on your personal scores or results. And develop a habit of expressing sincere gratitude, not just for, you know, all the time, to people you meet, live, and associate with all the time. This is one of the ways in which a community thrives, is devotees live in gratitude, appreciating. Take time to appreciate the devotees around you for the service they're doing. And you'll notice that your heart will become soft, and so will the devotees that you interact with. Preaching means giving. We're going out to give. And the more you give, the more the contents grows. I'll just let you read those rather than repeating them all. Got it? We're in the service business. This is what we do. This is one of our book tables in Santa Cruz. And here's Krishna washing the feet of Sudama Brahman. Our motto, always better service. So we're looking always to increase our service. And this always better service means that always notice where there's room for improvement and where we're doing well and record it. And then consciously come together to make the improvements. Yes. What's that? If I understand you correctly, you're asking me to go back to this slide and talk about reflective listening. Reflective listening means you listen. Really, listening is an art. It's a skill to develop, and not many people do it. You may notice yourself if someone's telling you something. Well, I notice it myself. Someone is telling me something, and my mind is thinking, I already know that, I already know that, I already know that, I already know that, I already know that. And I'll tell you something. As soon as you stop talking and I get a chance, I'm going to tell you something. That's my mind going on and on and on. It's like, yeah, I know that. My dad did that. I already know someone who did that before. And it's blah, 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 blah. It never stops. And so that's not real listening. Put down your own agenda, your own ego, and listen carefully. And reflective listening means to make sure that you're making the connection with somebody, repeat back to them what you just heard. So, you know, somebody tells me that, I'm feeling a little tired today and I need a little help. And I say, so if I understand you correctly, you're feeling a little tired today and you need a little help. A lot of times when people come to you and they tell you their problems, you don't have to solve their problem, you just have to listen to them. Because nobody else does. So if you do, they generally solve their own problems. And you'll find this, it's uncanny, because when you do this, over time you'll realize that that's really what people need, is somebody to listen to them, not to solve their problems. You go on listening and they never quite ask you, like, well, how would you solve this? They just kind of come to the conclusion themselves. It's so powerful. So when you're on Sankirtan also, it takes a little time to listen to people, hear what they're saying, and reflect back to them and practice that. And you'll notice that you'll develop a rapport very quickly with people, and their hearts will open to what you have to offer them. Service. And here's some resources on this Fan the Spark website. You can go to fanthespark.com or vaisheshikadas.com, and there's a link called Book Distribution. And if you go to that Book Distribution link, there are all kinds of videos and other resource materials that we collect over time and we put there, and they're all free for the taking if you want to check them out and just download some things. There's also an invitation. You can join this kind of drip list. We send out tips for spiritual life. And Hare Krishna. I just wanted to offer those few tips in closing. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Team IC ki jai, Gopremanande Arivo!